Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at the readings for today, I wanted to refer you to this feast day today, Saint Elizabeth of Portugal. There are a number of Saint Elizabeths. There's a Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. There's all kinds of Saint Elizabeths, but this one is Saint Elizabeth of Portugal. And she was the daughter of King Peter III of Aragon. She was grandniece of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. Elizabeth went to Portugal as the child bride of King Denis. As queen, Elizabeth was diligent in prayer and almsgiving, yet her thoughts were never far from her own family. Her loving ministrations won over her harsh husband and her rebellious son, Alonso. In 1323, now listen to this, in 1323, she rode on horseback between the advancing armies of husband and son to beg peace, averting both civil war and family bloodshed. After her husband's death, she dressed in a brown habit and lived with the poor Clare sisters. She's known as Elizabeth the Peacemaker. She died in 1336. But think of her courage. Get up there on a horse and ride right through the lines of opposing armies of father and son. My goodness. Talk about courage. Talk about faith. How strong is our faith? I'm not saying that we have to lead armies. I'm not saying that we have to ride through armies as she did. That's not my point. My point is, how committed are we to the Lord? How committed are we to what he has asked of us? How willing are we to kind of step out on the limb a bit and speak the truth to others who need to hear it? Do it calmly. Do it with charity. Always charity. But to express your concern about the other, oh, I don't want to cause any problems. But sometimes if we don't speak the truth, other people are left in darkness. And neither you nor I want to be the cause of that. So we need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. We need to ask him what we're supposed to say. We don't react in anger. That won't help anything. But to ask the Lord, what would you have me say or do in whatever situation you might find yourself? And ask the prayers of Saint Elizabeth of Portugal. See what she does for you. The opening prayer says this: O God, author of peace and lover of charity, who adorned Saint Elizabeth of Portugal with a marvelous grace for reconciling those in conflict, grant through her intercession that we may become peacemakers and so be called children of God. Let's take a look now at the first reading taken from the book of the prophet Amos, chapter 7. Verses 10 to 17. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent word to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos has conspired against you here within Israel. The country cannot endure all his words. For this is what Amos says: Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be exiled from its land. To Amos, Amaziah said, off with you, visionary, flee to the land of Judah. There earn your bread by prophesying, but never again prophesy in Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple. And Amos answered Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd. I was a dresser of sycamores. The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now hear the word of the Lord. You say, prophesy not against Israel, preach not against the house of Isaac. Now thus says the Lord, your wife shall be made a harlot in the city. Your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by measuring line, and you yourself shall die in an unclean land. Israel shall be exiled far from its land. We don't like to hear words like that. We certainly don't want them directed at us. But here was the prophet able to speak the truth, even difficult. You always want to say nice things about other people. And in normal conversation, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, is probably a very good rule of thumb. But when the Lord prompts you to say something, you can't minimize it. You have to do it. And I don't mean that you get, oh, the Lord says, and you stand up, you know, with great confidence to declare the word of the Lord. It might just be that you say something to somebody that they need to hear, that they don't want to hear, and you say it with kindness and charity. You say it with mercy, but you say it. Because sometimes the salvation of other people depends on their being able to hear the truth. Don't get angry if they reject you. Just simply walk away, but say it. Make sure it's from God, at least as sure as we can, because we don't want to attack someone. We want to know what the Lord wants. And that means every day reading Scripture until it begins to shape your thinking. It begins to shape your priorities. That's what you need most of the time before God gives you something that he perhaps wants you to say to someone else. So I just want to encourage you now, draw as close to the Lord as you can, because many people in the world, ourselves included, need to hear the truth. We need friends who speak the truth to us. We do it with kindness, we do it with charity, we do it with mercy, but we do speak the truth. And most of the time, we don't want to do that. And yet, if they don't hear the truth from us, from whom will they hear the truth? Think about that. Your relationship with them, with that person, may put you in a position where you really can speak because they'll listen to you. They know you. They like you. And some people say, oh, I don't want to ruffle the relationship. But if you really care for somebody, if they really are your friend, shouldn't you be willing to speak the truth to them? As I said, with kindness and with mercy, but speak the truth. Psalm 19, the judgments of the Lord are true and all of them are just. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. They are more precious than gold, than a heap of purest gold. Sweeter also than syrup or honey from the comb. God's word produces fruit, and it's good. But sometimes we have to be the messengers, knowing that the other person won't be open initially to hearing what we have to say. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing and came into his own town. And there, people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, now notice, he's not looking at the faith or lack of faith of the paralytic, he's looking at the faith of those who brought their friend to Jesus. And he said to the paralytic, courage, child, your sins are forgiven. See, Jesus goes after what's most important. What we often are asking for healing from is the wounds of our body. And understandably, and it's fine to ask them, but how much more important it is first to ask for the healing of our souls so that we have God's priorities, so that we live in God's forgiveness. Remember, get your priorities straight. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." And Jesus knew what they were thinking. Jesus knows what you're thinking right now. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Why do you do that? Why do you sit there stewing over negative things and making rash judgments about what you know nothing about it? But we make all kinds of judgments about people and actions and decisions and speeches. We make all kinds of, draw all kinds of conclusions about that person. We jump to their character or whatever the case may be." Brothers and sisters, no. No, listen carefully. Always listen carefully. Don't rash judge. You'll misjudge a lot less if you guard your tongue and listen to something. And if you see there's a problem, you take it to the Lord and you ask him for his wisdom. You ask him what to do. Then you speak to the person. But so often what happens is we're angry about something or upset about something. We know the other person is wrong, and we start shouting at them, yelling, accusing. That's not going to bear any fruit. It's just going to create enemies. So Jesus says, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts?" Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise and walk." "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Do you go to Jesus with your sins? Do you take advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation? Look what you have. Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise and walk"? "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He rose and went home. And when the crowds saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. They did not yet know who Jesus was, not fully. But they were amazed at the healing. God uses outward signs sometimes to bring us closer to him. Go to Jesus with your needs, whether the healing is a need in body or mind or spirit, in other relationships. Go to Jesus. Take responsibility for your part if there's a rift or a real breakdown in some relationship or a series of relationships in family. Be honest before God. "This is the part I played. I made a rash judgment here. I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have gotten angry here." Bring those things to the Lord and then say, ask the Lord's forgiveness, and then say, "Lord, teach me, lead me, guide me so that I can be an instrument of reconciliation." One of our biggest problems, brothers and sisters, is we judge too quickly. Ask God to help you with that. May God bless you in every way. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.